Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Wilco Radio, Bazaria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the fourth day of August, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and my brother, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597 and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in *6 then mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with John and myself today. Well, it's currently 80 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're expecting a high of 86 degrees today for the climate basin. And it's warmed back up. I'm hearing some kind of noise. Where's that coming from, Laura? Oh, anyways, that's the weather here, hotter than hell, and dry, hot and dry. Because waiting and everything, you know, the fires are starting down in California. It's burning all over the fucking place. So when the wind shifts, we'll get choked. So that's how your summer's end anymore. That being said, how's the weather today out there in Nazi Joyzy, John?
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, we've got the remnants of this hurricane here, this tropical storm blowing by us right now. So my power's been out since this morning. So I'm conducting business here through Kerry's smartphone. I got no internet because we got no power.
Oh, wow, man. You got that hurricane or whatever it is coming at you, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been here. I mean, this morning it was pretty damn violent, and it's taken down a lot of trees and branches, knocked the power out, because then they got emergency calls all over the state, so I don't know when they'll be back up. And now the backside, it was calm for a little while, for like an hour and a half there. It was perfectly still out there. I mean, not even a hint of a breeze, and now the backside of the storm's coming through. The winds have kicked up again, but we got big blue skies. So it's kind of bizarre looking to see the storm going by here, big blue skies, but the winds are getting violent again.
Hence I
have... There we go. We got a gust right now. That's got to be a 50, 60-mile-an-hour gust.
Wow.
And you can hear the trees snapping when those hit.
Wow. Hence I have no call to be bitching about the weather.
Well, you know, this isn't the worst. At least it actually wasn't that much rain. I mean, they were talking about all the flooding and everything. It really didn't turn out to be a whole lot of rain. It was pouring a little hard, and the front side of the storm was coming through.
Yeah.
But it didn't last long. It would be bursts of like 2 minutes, 3 minutes of hard rain, and then it would almost stop. And then we had that, I guess the eye of the storm went by us, and now the backside's going by, so the winds are just kicking up again right now. And that's about it. So I'm just doing, I got no computer, no internet access, so I don't have any of the websites I would normally refer to during the tactical report, so I'm just going to have to do it on the fly.
Oh, it sounds like fun. And if I go, John, and there's nothing there, you're off the odds, right?
Yeah, I don't know how long Kerry's battery is going to be good for here, but hopefully it'll last the show at least.
Excellent, man. So anything particular pissing you off besides the psychotic weather?
No, but when I wasn't sure how to unmute, because I've never called in before just using a phone, So I did a quick check on the website. You know, I went to put the Word from the Trenches and, *6 to unmute. But I saw you had a couple of articles up there, one talking about the United States is now starting a world police force and stuff like that. And what was interesting with the Amazon guy here, Amazon's out delivering, believe it or not. And I was telling him about the radio show real quick. And, you know, some of it was a little bit of a surprise to him, but some of it wasn't. And what I want to get at is, you know, people aren't buying this. They realize even if they kind of accept what's going on, they know it's bullshit.
Well, the first article I have up here, two El Dorado County restaurants lose health permits and face fines but vow to stay open. And we'll get into it here when we get back from the break. But you're going to see how if everybody just fucking stood together, if we just stuck together as Americans, man, I mean, they couldn't do anything. They'd be impotent.
Well, anyway, maybe that's why they want us fighting each other. That's why they want isolation. Your house don't come together closer than 6 feet. Don't talk to each other. Don't even breathe at each other. Nothing. Right. Well, that's part of the isolation. That part of the mindset is we can't come together.
Well, they use their version of psychology at every instance that they believe it will benefit them, but it's a lot of it is backfiring on them. And I think it's going to continue. I mean, as people, you know, those people get sick of having calluses on their fucking nose and their ears. I know I would.
Absolutely. And, we'll talk about when we get back. You mentioned backfiring, and there's another thing that's backfired against them, which is, number one, people are buying guns en masse. Remember, the whole idea was, no one wants to own guns because they're bad and people get hurt. Nobody wants to own guns. Meanwhile, they've had record sales now month after month after month, and then they were trying to compress everybody into these smart cities, but because of all the protests and the riots, people are bailing out of the cities en masse now. So this is what they call blowback.
You can't count when you got a country the size of this and our population shouldn't be huge. I mean, if it was all just American nationals, but I got to believe there are 400 million people here, and to try to think that you can calculate, things to an exact science is just completely, it's goofy. You can't do it. You don't know what's going to happen, and it can blow up in your face at any second, and that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, look at the Epstein affair. That blew up in their face.
It sure as hell did. Anyway, we'll get into this as soon as we return.
All right.
Oh, you're going to take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're going to let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Shiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
When you hear the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. Two El Dorado County restaurants lose health permits and face fines, but vow to stay open. Uh-oh. This is from Good Day at CW31, sent in by Clay for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The owners of two El Dorado County restaurants have lost their health permits after openly defying state health rules. We've made rules for you. You don't live by laws no more. We make the rules and you follow them, you see.
And don't forget, Henry, they call them norms, too. It's not the norm. The international norms are being ignored.
No, when they tell me that my life, everybody's life in this country is going to change, that's not a norm.
Oh, no, I'm saying they've used that excuse in the past, too.
Oh, yeah.
Syria is not following international norms, so we've got to send an invasion force there.
Fuck them. I don't care what happens in any other country but this one. I would like to see the rest of the world rise up and fucking crush this fucking tyranny, this Zionist, this attempt at a Zionist empire to rule the fucking world and make the rest of us slaves. But I'll take the United States fucking getting their head together, figuring out who they are and what their authority is, and starting to invoke it. And that's what these people are doing. Cafe El Dorado and Apple Bistro, it looks like, face hundreds of dollars in fines. Ooh, but the owners said they won't close. Customers said they'll keep coming if the doors stay open. Both restaurants display the same sign near their front doors. It says, no social conditioning, no oxygen deprivation masks. They both lost their permits for not enforcing social distancing or mask wearing, and both don't care. I don't have any intention of closing. I'll just operate without a license. Whoa. What did we say in the beginning of this? This is what the fucking businesses should have done if they were American. if they were fucking Americans and they knew who they are and what their fucking authority is and the fact that they've been paying to fucking to work for the government, because the government owns the goddamn business that you thought you fucking owned with that. When they gave you that license, and just like when you get the license for the car, you turned it over to them. And all of these fucking merchants went out into the street and just burned their license like they did back in Vietnam when they burned the draft cards and told them to shove it up their ass. But you all got to stick together. You all got to do it. But if you all do it, they can't do a goddamn thing about it. You are the largest army to ever exist on this planet. And what are they going to say? We are a soldier, American soldier, go shoot that American for refusing to get an unlawful license pay taxes that they do not owe. I mean, a lot of these are small businesses, and if you have a small business, you know, and you're not working anybody, and you're just running it as a family, you don't owe no goddamn taxes. That's labor, you know. You don't owe no taxes anyway, because there were never supposed to be corporations in this goddamn country. You would have partnerships and what might have you. And if there anything was ever owed, it was because you were taking more than your share of the resources to make a fortune, okay? Okay, I don't have any intention of closing. I'll operate without a license. Now, there you go. I salute you, Mr. Industry, right there. I got nothing against you. You're an American. I don't care. They can't take it away, said Sherry Baldridge, who owns Cafe El Dorado. Way to go, Sherry. I salute you, sister. El Dorado County leader said the next step is fines up to $500 a day. Fuck you. Shove your fine up your ass. Have the people come out and stand in front of there with fucking loaded weapons and tell you to get on. You kick fucking rocks and get the fuck out of here, you unlawful corporate pricks. The health department another non-governmental, unelected fucking authority over our lives. The health department will visit both restaurants later this week, and if they're still open, the daily fines will kick in. Ooh. See, that's what everybody, I mean, just like these people throwing on these face masks and wearing, every one of them got their fucking nose sticking out, but they might get a $10 fine that they can fucking tell them to shove in their ass if they have no authority to fine you. The governor had no authority to give the fucking order in the first place. Yeah, Judge Napolitano, one of their fucking admiralty judges, tell you they didn't even under the administrative admiralty. They can't tell you. But, oh, man, I mean, God damn it. That other person's doing, and the communists, look at the communists are getting mean and throwing coffee on people. Throw some fucking coffee on me. I don't know if you saw that that YouTube video where two guys sitting there eating their fucking lunch, and this fucking faggot fucker and his bitch come by, and this bitch throws fucking coffee on the guy. So, of course, being a fucking one of our people, he's not wearing a mask is why she did it, right? So, but being one of our people, the guy gets up and he kicks her old man's ass. And I would have got up and I'd have punched that bitch right in the goddamn face. That's what they're playing this game. Five out of six Black Lives Matters are little 4 foot nothing fucking bitches. It's these women. They want to use their status as a woman. You can't hit a girl. You want to bet? Act like you got balls. I'll knock the fuck out of you in a second, man.
Well, you know, Henry, that's all part of this propaganda conditioning.
Yep, of course.
A little 120-pound girl can kick the crap out of a 300-pound burly guy.
They've been watching too many of fucking Netflix movies, I'm telling you right now.
Yes, they have.
I got news for them. I'll slap them through the rim of their fucking ass. And I will, with open-hand slap. I probably wouldn't double up my fist, but I'd slap them so hard they'd hit the ground and be pissing themselves. It's unfortunate that it comes to this place. This is not the action we wanted to take as a county, said Carla Haas, a county spokesperson. That's all you are, is a spokesperson. You have zero fucking authority, Haas. And these people are about, God, I hope these people are about to fucking show you where you stand. Haas rejects claims from the restaurant owners that the county has no authority to enforce state health rules. They have no authority to enforce anything because they are illegitimate. They are a corporation, and a corporation founded from a corporation that was created in violation of the law. They can't. Not only do they have no authority over you, they are fucking criminals. And when they come to you and they threaten you, or they come to, you know, take something that belongs to you, that's a fucking criminal. And you have the right to fucking deal with that fucking criminal, because the criminals are not being dealt with, because the criminals have taken over the fucking government. But what they don't realize is that wasn't the government. The government's always been the fucking people. It was supposed to be a little bit of our authority that we allowed them to exercise in order to deal with interstate commerce and fucking, you know, international fucking wars and such. It was never to be have any kind of policing powers. You know, they talked about, you know, we're going to have to step on the autonomy of the people the other day. You know, your fucking self-rule. We've been telling you all along that these pricks were not your self-rule. We told you what your self-rule was, and they're proving it for us. Now all you got to do is just get the fucking moxie to stand up on your fucking legs and tell them no. I mean, really, if all these fucking merchants just all of them just said, fucking, we're going to stick together on this, and we're going to just, we go out and, like I said, burn that fucking license, burn any permits that they gave you to operate, burn them in the middle of the goddamn street, keep running your store, and if they come to fucking hassle you, call on the people, the rest of the people, it'd be our obligation to come down and stand at your fucking side and protect your fucking, your business that you have. Of course, when it comes around to we get our common law back, you're going to have to put that business together right so that you're within the confines of the law, but at least you will have quit breaking the law. These people will have quit breaking the law. They have said no, because you don't need a goddamn permission from the government to do any fucking thing. The very idea of it, man, all my life that has just fucking just blew my mind. The people fall for it. You need a license. You need the permission. They tell you. They used to tell you. They don't tell you anymore. Now they're telling you, we're your masters. We're going to have to remove your autonomy. That makes us your masters. We're the ruling class, and you're going to do what we say. But they used to tell you that we're public servants. And since when do you need permission from your servant to do any goddamn thing? You just withdraw your fucking permission for them to exist, and they don't have a fucking job, and they could actually go to have to do a fucking, some real work. And maybe they could relate to this a little better. After we take all the fucking, resource that you've stolen from our people, and you're left a fucking pauper because you've never worked an honest day in your whole fucking life, and then you go out there and you get a job, man. You get a job fucking digging ditches or working in the fucking field or something because you don't have any other talent. All you do, what is your forte? Oh, you can lie, you cheat, you're pedophiles. I think there's a big demand for people wanting to hire pedophiles. You're a bunch of fucking scum. And they are such a minute fucking portion of our fucking population, people. If we just stand together. I salute these people.
No, Henry, I got to disagree with you on that one. There's a big demand for pedophiles. You got the U.S. Congress, you've got the Senate, you've got the judiciary.
I said when we got rid of those.
Oh, well, okay. Sorry.
When they had to get a real job, where their job wasn't pedophile. Oh, man. Okay, El Dorado County leader said the next step is fines up to $500 a day. What if we tell you to shove your fines up your ass? And then when you come down to try to collect them, there's fucking 200 or 300 people standing there with loaded fucking rifles telling you to fuck off. What are you going to do then, corporate prick? Oh, you're going to try and call your corporate army? Well, your corporate army's deserting on you right now because they're getting their asses kicked out in the street by a bunch of fucking women. I don't know how else to put it. The health department will visit both restaurants. Oh, we did that. Okay. It's unfortunate that it has come to this place. This is not the action we wanted to take as a county, said Carla Haas. That was it. Haas rejected claims, from the restaurant owners that the county has no authority to enforce state health. You have no authority at all because you're not a fucking county. You are a corporation. You're just like the son of a bitches down at fucking Bi-Mart. You have no fucking authority. You work for you're an employee of a private fucking, it's not even private, a public corporation that can't even exist because that fucking government was never to come over here into our private fucking self-governing system under the fucking common law bill of rights with the common law courts. You were supposed to keep your ass over there out of our fucking way, and we'd let you exist in case we ever needed to come together to defend ourselves from a foreign invasion of fucking cocksuckers who thought they were going to come and take our Bill of Rights away from us. Hey, and it's you now. So I guess we know what we need to do. We are certainly well within our rights and realm of responsibility as the Environmental Management Department. Oh, really? What, you were elected, huh? You're an elected representative in a subsidiary of you're practicing that Republican form of government guaranteed in that original Constitution to every fucking jurisdiction on this piece of real estate known as the United States of America. You've got your common law court in place. You have your elected sheriff in place. You have your elected coroner in place. You have your elected judge in place. You have all of these things and you're operating, under the, jurisdiction of the common law. Are you? I don't think you have any fucking legs to stand on, bitch. We regret. Oh, I bet you do.
They got Bill Gates in place, that's for goddamn sure.
Well, Bill Gates, I gotta believe he's left the country by now, is hiding somewhere. There's so many people in this country who wants his fucking hair. I mean, goddamn. If you could just run a lottery, you could settle the national debt. We are certainly well within our rights. Let's talk your rights. You know, for you to have a right to fucking do anything to this fucking person, if they step up in their individual capacity as an American national, you'd have to be in line with that ninth article, which says that the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, like you're claiming, which are defined as authorities. What you're talking about is authority here, bitch. And you cannot have it. Because you cannot come at that guy as a fucking, in the fiduciary, even if this country was being run, as a Republican form of government under the Constitution. You couldn't do a goddamn thing. And you sure as hell can't do it as an unlawful corporation formed under an unlawful corporation. Fucking, you're a criminal. You are to be prosecuted. We have the right to prosecute your ass in the goddamn common law. Of course, these people who own these restaurants, they have the right to fucking prosecute you for thinking you can come along as a fucking, in the fiduciary, as their fucking servant, and shut their fucking restaurant down and tell them how they're going to run their fucking lives and how they're going to run their restaurants. Now, you see, if they're running their restaurants the way they want to and there's a problem, they have to deal with it mano a mano. In the private capacity, if you know that somebody gets poisoned or something, so they're going to take care because they don't want to be sued in the common law court. They want to run a business. They want to be successful. And you know, but you're just thieving fucking money from people for doing nothing. Because the real fucking shit joints with the fucking rats and fucking the slime, filthy places where a fucking human being wouldn't eat, well, they just hand you a fucking envelope and you go out the fucking door, right, bitch? The envelope days are coming to an end. Get ready for it. Baldridge told CBS 13 that groups of supporters have been filling her parking lot. She said they're preventing state and local officials from coming on her property. Yes, this is what would be happening. I mean, fuck you people that have industry. You guys had better step up with this because you're either with us or you're against us. And you don't want to be fucking against us. Because you ain't seen shit. You think these fucking people are fucking scary with a $500 fine? How's that compared to a rope around your fucking neck? I've got the community backing me up. So I just have them on special speed dial, Beldridge said. Perfect. The California Department of Alcohol and Beverage Control, this is in California too, is also investigating the, we're gonna come threaten you with your liquor license, your liquor permission. Don't need permission. Don't need permission to sell or do anything. We don't take permission from those that are supposed to be our fucking servants. And you have formed an unlawful corporation making you a fucking criminal. You're just like Al fucking Capone. You're gonna come in and just fucking take over with fucking brute force in violation of the law. Well, we have ways of dealing with criminals in this country. And they, and we can help, we can have you hung from that lamppost right out in front of that fucking restaurant. All this lady has to, all we need is a common law court. And there's a person to file a fucking complaint against you for attempting to violate her guaranteed fucking rights under ratified law. And fucking she can ask that you be fucking hung if you're found guilty. And boy, you're guilty by your own fucking, by your actions and by your fucking own writings. Show them the $500 fine and ask them where they got the authority to fine you. Oh, license? Oh, I don't got a license. I burned that son of a bitch out there in the street. I'm done with you. Now, this is what every business in this goddamn country ought to be doing, because this COVID thing is a fucking lie. I mean, we got another video up today of a guy going to these goddamn hospitals. They're empty. There's nobody in them. It's all a fucking lie. It's a Goebbels lie, and Goebbels is, oh, man. Man, I've listened to that a lot. I mean, I've known that saying for a long fucking time, since I was a kid, about it. Tell, if you're gonna tell a lie, just tell the biggest lie you can. Keep telling it over and over and over and over in different ways, every way you can. And that's what you're seeing. Only you got people here, some people that fucking just aren't going to fucking go for it. They're saying, they're saying no. And that's all we have to do is stand together as a people and just say no. Fuck you. We're not doing it. Now what? It'll be just like the fucking beaches. I guess we're gonna pull back because you outnumber us 1,000 to 1 and we don't want to fucking die. We need to get rid of this fucking corporation, that 14th Amendment, take our fucking treasure back that they have stolen from us, and we could live happily. The goddamn world could live happily if they do the same thing. These son of a bitches are but a little handful. And their only forte, like we said, is pedophilia, manipulating people to kill one another for them. They're nothing. I'm telling you, I'd love to see them in a court when they're facing fucking death for fucking treason and sedition. I would love to watch them. I mean, I gotta believe they'd be peeing their pants and everything all the way through it. They'd be shaking like that guy at those Nuremberg trials. I'd love to watch it. I'd like, how's it feel, you son of a bitch? The torture's gonna be, it's gonna be a mercy when they pull the fucking handle and you go through the fucking chute and do your shit dance. You're gonna consider it a tender mercy. You may even thank me. But anyway, these fucking people, right on, man. Let's finish this off real quick here. ABC has said it's possible for restaurants to lose their license. Ooh, burn the son of a bitch. But that's a last resort and a long process. This enforcement struggle comes as El Dorado County fights to stay off the state watch list. For the most part, the vast majority of our residents and business owners are doing the right thing. That is submitting to fucking communism. No, they're not doing the right thing. And you people who out there who think you're doing the right thing by going along with this, you are going to fucking hang. This person here figured it out and can figure it out that it's not right, that it's in violation of the law, that they cannot do shit like this to you without due process. They don't own your fucking restaurant. You did all this licensing and shit to get benefits. Tell them to shove their benefits up their ass. You'll make an honest living with your business. Burn that fucking business license. Watch the people step up to back your ass. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Drum will win the war and pay the toll. A fight has won in heart and soul. Midnight man and blood red roll. Fight to keep this land your own. Sound the horn and call the cry. How many of them can we make die?
Axes flash, rocks will sweep. Shining armor piercing ring. Houses run with a powder shield. Fight those bastards till they yield. Midnight man.
To the word from the trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The word from the trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:38 Pacific time, and that was Heather Alexander with March of Cambrith. How many can we make die? Anyway, it is now time for the tactical report, so I'm going to turn this over to John D., U.S. Marine fighting tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. All right. First off, I am operating strictly on backup systems because we got this hurricane that went by, or the tropical storm, I think they downgraded it to, and we've been without power since this morning, so I'm just using Kerry's, my wife's smartphone, or as I call them, dumb phones, And so I got no computer systems. I haven't had a chance to do any checks on articles and news reports or anything like that. In fact, I was just getting ready to get my generator going because I've got to plug them fridges in. So I'm just going to do this on the wing here. So let's get moving. I am John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, and it is 15:39 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 3:39 to all you civilians out there. And to all the idiots who think if we can just get to another election cycle, they'll fix everything. Mickey's little hand is past the three, and his big hand is pointing to that little thing that looks like a snowman. All right. I don't have any of my news articles to refer to. I did see a couple of interesting headlines late last night that I want to bring up, but I don't have them up in front of me. In fact, I don't have any of my regular stuff working, so I'm just talking into a phone here. So this is going to allow me to go straight into what I've been wanting to do anyway, which is get into, number one, I do want to mention Epstein real quick, and number two, we're going to get into the bug-out bag and some of the essential concerns regarding that idea of a bug-out bag. All right, number one, judge last week did order the release of the flight logs related to people's flights over to Fantasy Island there, Epstein's little pedo island, you know, the one with all the cameras that were in there, and he bought for millions and millions of dollars and then did millions and millions of dollars worth of restorations and changes and all that, and nobody's ever explained where the fuck did Epstein get all that money to do that. As far as I can tell, he's dumb as a goddamn doornail. I mean, I've heard the guy talk because there's plenty of videos out there. This guy isn't very sharp, but he's sharp enough to at least have gotten involved with some of the stuff that he's the criminal activities he's with and got away with it for quite a span of time. It looks like close to three decades, but now the roosters are home to roost. And, of course, supposedly he was suicided in the jail cell, or he suicided himself. But we know that he's sipping a pina colada somewhere on some beach. And, of course, his associate there, the girl who actually brought him into it, Ghislaine Maxwell, she'll be joining him soon one way or another. And they'll get to hang out and play dead, you know, publicly. But in the meantime, let's look at a couple of interesting names that came out on this flight log that was been released. And it's been redacted. They have not released all the names that were in it. Surprise, surprise. But the judge did order the release of the flight logs. I don't know if he was allowing the defense to block out certain names or the prosecution just went and did it. Because remember, the court system is there. The Department of DOJ, Department of Jews is there. The police are there. The prosecutor's offices, they're all there to protect the communist infiltration into this country. And one of their main mechanisms of control, of course, has been these honeypots, these human trafficking operations, these prostitution rings, and, of course, that's not including the drugs and all the criminal corruption in the financial markets, which they don't want exposed either. But the idea is the courts are there to make sure they are protected, not held accountable for all the crimes they've been committed. But let's take a quick look at a couple of the names that have come out in these flight logs. And let's see. Now, there were some names that were not on the flight logs, but in this article, which was done over in Nuke Pro, that's in like nuclear weapons, Nuke Pro, N-U-K-E, Nuke Pro, he published the flight log names that were released up to this point, anyway, when I printed this out, which was 3 days ago. And his concern was, in the article, he talks about, well, how come these names were not in the flight log when we know for a fact that they have taken flights to Epstein's Island? And some of those names include Barbara Walters, Michael Bloomberg, Les Wexner. Now, Les Wexner is what they call the Jew Mafia, Jewish Mafia, and he seems to be in control of the human trafficking or a majority of the human trafficking, that is the abductions and, of course, the coercion and the grabbing of young boys and girls to force into the prostitution. He seems to be a very central figure in it, so the name of Les Wexner is interesting in and of itself. In fact, we could probably spend a whole week of doing nothing but the entire one-hour broadcast just talking about Les Wexner and barely scratch the surface. That is how important he is to this. But you got Barbara Walters, Michael Bloomberg, Les Wexner, Dustin Hoffman, Mick Jagger, Liz Hurley, Joan Rivers, of course, is supposedly dead. I think she is, because remember, she made the comment about Obama, Michelle Obama being nothing but a tranny, that is, a guy dressing as a girl. And she went in for a simple procedure, and somehow, mysteriously, she died on the operating table from a very simple procedure.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, a couple of the other names that apparently have not been mentioned but are known to have taken flights to Epstein Island, and they weren't released now, but that doesn't mean they won't be released at a later date if they do an update. And some of the other names are Naomi Campbell, Kevin Spacey, good old Alan Dershowitz, you know, that scumbag, Alan Douchebagwitz, who, of course, has gone above and beyond trying to convince people why vaccines are such a great thing, and that how all this nonsense about Epstein, it's blown out of proportion. That's that scumbag, Alan Dershowitz. You got Chris Tucker himself. What about Bill Gates? What about Trump? We got plenty of videos of Trump hanging out with Epstein. To think that he didn't take one or two trips over to Epstein Island is almost absurd. Of course he did. Now let's take a look at the names that were released, some of the names. I'm not going to cover them all because the list is fairly lengthy. Let's just see if we can recognize a couple of them. You got Adam Lang. I think that's an actor. Alan Dershowitz. Oh, actually, he is on this list. Alec Baldwin. Anderson Cooper, that dick-sucking fag up in Canada. You got, let's see, who else here? Let's see if we can come down to a couple names we'll know. Barack Obama, Ben Affleck, Beyonce, Bill Clinton. Oh, so his name's on here. Bill Murray, Brian Affleck, and I'm wondering if that's the name, the brother of Ben Affleck. Let's see, Casey Weissman. I know the name. I can't remember why that I know that name, but I do recognize that name. Let's see. Cindy Lopez. Let's go down the list here. I'm not even reading them all off. I'm just trying to read off names that I recognize for one reason or another. Even if I don't recall why, it's just I recognize them. David Koch. I don't know if that's one of the Koch brothers or not. Demi Moore. Who else we got here? Ehud Barak, you know, the former prime minister of Israel. That's right. Alan Spencer. Perry Lang, Floor Perry Lang, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell herself. I'm reading down the names here. What else do we got here? Jeffrey Epstein, of course, he's on his own flight logs. Jim Carrey, Jimmy Kimmel, John Cusack, John Legend, Juan Pablo Mullinex. And Kathy Griffin, and this is Kathy Perry, and then parentheses, Catherine Elizabeth Hudson. I guess that was her former name. Let's see. Oh, this list is long. I'm only reading just a few names off here. Like I said, anything I even think I recognize, I'm just reading out to you. Mark Epstein. I wonder if Jeff Epstein had a brother. I wonder if that's his brother or not. Doesn't say here. And who else? Meryl Streep. Naomi Campbell. Oh, her name is on here. Nicole Yunkerman, now I remember I've mentioned her on a few occasions, and we're going to get into her a little bit more later on. Who else we got here? Let me read down just a couple more. Robert Downey Jr., of course. Rodney Slater. I wonder if that's Christian Slater's brother. Who else we got here? Just real quick, and just taking a quick look. Steven Spielberg. Of course, Steven Tyler from the band Aerosmith. And Tom Hanks, of course. And who else we got here? Virginia Roberts, currently why he was arrested. So apparently he's under investigation for this very activity. Wanda Sykes, that comedian, Will Farrell, Will Smith, and, of course, Woody Allen. Because, you know, no pedophile party would be complete without having Woody Allen there. Anyway, that was a couple of interesting things in there. Now, real quick, I just want to mention. Now, I mentioned this yesterday, but we're going to cover it one more time. This girl, Nicole Yunkerman, that most people never heard of. In fact, I never heard of until I read this article by Johnny Vetmore, who I did write to. I haven't gotten a reply to yet. I hope he does reply. He might not. He's over there in the UK. In fact, I don't even know if he got my email. It just might get blocked. But apparently she had flown with Epstein personally, just her and Epstein, on an entire jet from Paris to UK and then 3 days back from UK back to Paris. Now, for people who don't understand the importance of Paris, Paris is one of the most important operational centers for these secret societies. This is where they do a lot of their training. This is where they have a lot of their secret meetings. And this goes way back beyond Trotsky and all of them. Paris has always been a very important epicenter for the pedophile circles, for the international communism. It's a training center. So it's no curiosity that they took a trip from Paris to the UK to do some business and then back from UK to Paris. And Nicole Yunkerman here flew with Epstein on March 22nd, 2002, then again on August 31st, 2002, and that's when they went from Paris to UK, and then 3 days later when they came back on September 2nd, 2002. And the reason I mention that is to show you just how far back this goes, and yet it's just getting into the public domain now, nearly 20 years later. And, of course, their activities, and certainly Jeffrey Epstein's activities and association with Ghislaine Maxwell, certainly precedes the 2002 date. So let's go on real quick here. And here was an interesting little fact that came up when I was doing some of this research. Now, Yunkerman graduated from Harvard's Management Development Program while almost immediately afterwards. Now, this happened almost immediately after she graduated from Harvard. And I'm talking about almost like the next day. It wasn't quite the next day. It was actually a few weeks later. But Epstein, for some reason which has never been stated, turns around and makes a $30 million donation to Harvard. Now, I don't know if there's a connection there or not, but given the nature of the business relationship that they have, it doesn't seem they had any kind of personal, you know, no type of intimate or even just a friendship-based relationship. This was strictly business. This doesn't surprise me. So I'm wondering if maybe to get her through the program and get her those credentials to say she's a Harvard graduate, it took a little bit of priming the pump, that is abroad, from Epstein to Harvard to make sure that Nicole Yunkerman got this these credentials. I don't know. That's a speculation on my part. I haven't seen anything to confirm that other than the timing of these events, because nowhere did I find any reason why Jeffrey Epstein suddenly decided to make a $30 million donation to Harvard. $30 million. That's a little bit of chump change for the average person, isn't it? All right, so I mentioned that. We're going to get back to that because, remember, I do believe, and this is my speculation also, that all of the events that we are witnessing now was driven. The timetable got pushed, was driven much sooner than they wanted to do. They wanted to do this, but it was done sooner than they expected because of the Epstein arrest and the revelations related to it. Because as Snape had said to Harry Potter and Ron Weasley, you risked exposing our world. And this is an entire world for these people, because you're not just talking about their little sexual activities, however deviant they are. You are talking about exposing all the major mechanisms of control over the people and governments, over the bureaucracies, over the financial systems, over the monetary systems, over the political systems, over the legal systems. So it's a lot more than just the idea that some human trafficking was being exposed. It's much bigger than that, people. And for that, they will start a world war, and if 100 million people get exterminated in the process, well, to them, that's just the cost of doing business. All right, so let's get back into this idea of a bug-out bag. And, of course, we've been talking about some of the categories of items. Oh, you know, I was going to send the pictures today. I'm going to send a picture. I'll do it tomorrow because I'm sure my power will be up and running back by then. So I can forward Henry a couple of pictures to post just before the radio show, showing you a picture of my bug-out bag, which is my Alice pack, fully packed out, and you can see what it looks like. And you'll see it's pretty damn full. And as is, it weighs exactly 60 pounds, and that's without water. And what's interesting is that was always my conscious target weight, though I had never actually weighed it before until a few days ago when I took it out to take some pictures of it to send to Henry for posting. I never actually bothered to weigh it. I always went by just what it felt like, because I had actually done some training with it as a bug-out bag. I've actually put it on. I've gone 4 or 5 miles at a clip. I used to train with it. In fact, I used to jog with it a little bit just to see if I could do a little bit of jogging with that much weight on my back in case I have to move quickly, even if it's for just a few hundred yards. What the fuck does it feel like to try jogging with, you know, 60 pounds on your back? Tell you what, it ain't that easy. So I've done that, and I guess just by force of training from the military, I would always add or subtract weight on my backpack without ever actually taking the time to weigh it before, and it just happens to be exactly 60 pounds, which was always the target I had in mind loosely, based on my training from the military, because our target was typically about 60 pounds. So I guess just by feel, you know, you get to know something when you've done it long enough, and you know whether it feels right or not. So anyway, I'm going to send some pictures. Now, out of that 60 pounds, that's not including any water. I have enough capacity on my Alice pack, that is a 2-quart canteen, and 2 1-quart canteens. So that's going to be 1 gallon. So when I add the water into those canteens, that's going to add another 8 pounds. So I'm going to be up to 68 pounds. And I'll tell you what, at 68 pounds, you're pushing your limit. But let's go over these categories real quick again to remind people. We're going to be delving into this again and again because we may be up to a shit fight much sooner than we expect, especially since we've seen that scenario where they're flying these CH-47s, these black op helicopters have been appearing across the country simultaneously and single profile runs, meaning typically a single CH-47, a single troop carrier with a single escort. That's very, very unusual, but we have seen it simultaneously across the country. So that tells me they are getting ramped up and getting ready to possibly try and do a literal seizure of the country. And that's going to be one of the ways they do it. Grab them node points, them control points. So let's take a look at, again, some of the items of consideration for your bug-out bag. Now, remember, when you're considering what you want to put in your bug-out bag, you're going to make compromises, period. Because your best, your most effective way to travel the quickest and the longest distance is with absolutely nothing on your back. But, of course, that's going to leave you completely ill-equipped to deal with your environment to where, when you get to wherever you're going, unless, of course, you got a whole bunch of supplies there. The assumption is you're not going to have those supplies, which is why you got that bug-out bag, that Alice pack on your back. However, we want to take some equipment. We want to take food. We want to take water. And the question is, how much of that weight that I'm willing to carry do I want to partition into these different categories of items that I want to have with me? Well, that's an individual decision. As I said, my pack's up to 60 pounds, and I'm pretty much maxed out. I really don't want to put any more weight on there because I would be very surprised if I could do 6 miles a day with that comfortably right now. I know I used to be able to do 8 to 10 easily, but I haven't done that kind of training in a little while, and you got to train up to it. You're not going to just throw a 60-pound pack on your back, and there you go. 6 miles or 8 miles today, 6 miles or 8 miles tomorrow, 6 miles or 8 miles the next day without substantial muscle aches or joint aches. You got to train up to 60 pounds. It takes a little time. So let's look at some of the categories of items again. And we're talking about clothes. And for me, I'm going to have both tactical, that is camouflage, and civilian clothes. Because wherever I get, I may be staying there for a little while, and it may behoove me, may be beneficial to me, to blend in with the civilian population. And to do that, you got to dress like one. That means jeans, a T-shirt, or a regular shirt of some kind, nothing that looks military. You're certainly going to have some food. You're certainly going to have some water, even if it's just that gallon. But remember, that gallon's typically only good for about one day. And then you're back to the requirement. You better find a water source and quick. You got water purification and or filtration systems, which is what I also have in my pack, because the idea is here in the upper Northeast, finding a water source is not difficult. Finding clean water is, but luckily with a purification and filtration system, I can utilize those water sources as long as they're freshwater systems. Now, understand, water purification and water filtration systems do not convert salt water, ocean water, into fresh water. They don't filter the salt out. Only a distillation process will do that, and that's a completely different setup from water purification and or filtration systems that you will typically carry with you. You got cooking equipment. And if you got cooking equipment, you better have some kind of fuel in it. Now, I carry the old fuel tabs, those little, they look like big aspirins or almost like Alka-Seltzers. And the reason I'm willing to use those is because, number one, they're quick and easy. They ignite immediately when I put a match to them. But there's no smoke. I'm not giving myself away with the little trail of smoke or the smell of smoke, which if there's a light wind, you'll smell a half a mile away, a quarter mile away, maybe several hundred feet away. But the idea is, the smoke from the cooking, if I use some kind of wood fuel that's just laying around, it's going to smoke a little bit, and somebody's going to smell it who's ever downwind from me, and I may not want that. Navigation, that's going to include a compass and a map. Communications, and that's going to include short-range communications because to carry a long-range communication setup is probably going to be beyond the capability of most people, and it's certainly going to incur some weight. And again, you're going to be in that weight trade-off consideration class, and you want small, light communication gear. First aid, medications. And remember, first aid medications are not the same. First aid is for an on-site injury. Medications are for a sustained or what you believe could be a medical problem, such as sore muscles. I certainly pack some Motrin in my stuff, but that's a medication, not first aid. Tools, e-tool. It's a heavy piece of equipment.
but that is one of those pieces of equipment I am willing to accept the weight burden for the usefulness it presents to me. Lighting, such as flashlights and chem sticks, simple, simified NBC equipment, nuclear, biological, chemical warfare equipment, because you don't know what they'll be willing to drop on us once a real all-out fight starts. Repelling, you will certainly want to carry some rope with you, and if you got rope, a couple of carabiners don't weigh much. It's the rope that actually weighs more than anything else, and, of course, some gloves, because if you go sliding down that rope and you don't have gloves on, you're going to be leaving a layer of skin on it, and it's not going to be nice. Camouflage. And I'm talking about like camouflage netting that you would throw over a vehicle, but you don't need a piece that big. You can get a camouflage net, or you can even buy the smaller ones right off eBay for about 10 bucks. You can buy a 10 by 10 piece of camouflage, which will help go hiding your bug-out spot if you have to stop and just get some quick rest, and you're fearing being seen from the air or from the road. You can throw it up very quickly. You just loop it onto a couple of branches, and you can actually sit behind it. It's actually difficult to see somebody unless they have something that gives them away, like a very brightly colored vest or something like that. Going on, shelter. You might want a small shelter of some kind, those small portable nylon ones, especially in very cold weather. Shelter is very critical. Information, small camping or survival manual. Vision aids like glasses and binoculars, a small emergency fishing equipment set up, small emergency hunting equipment set up, and that means something like snares. Or even they even have these small, what do you call them? Like, they're not bear traps, the small spring traps. They got small ones, which are actually pretty light. They're good for small game. They won't catch anything big, but it can catch you something like a groundhog, and, well, you can make a meal out of a groundhog. Washing and hygiene, you're certainly going to wash that. Want that. You've got to do your best to keep yourself in your most hygienic state possible to prolong your combat effectiveness, because the last thing you want to do is get sick. Fire starting equipment, matches, Bic lighters, and certainly them sparkers, perimeter alarm and or booby trap materials, batteries if you've got anything that's battery operated or at least a charging system for it, which means it's going to be solar, some kind of earplugs, a small sewing kit, cutting equipment. Certainly, you're going to want to have a small knife with you, at least a machete, and absolutely a hand axe, especially if you're going into a wooded area. Your weapon system, and that's a whole conversation in and of itself. Your rain gear and a poncho, because, hey, there's no guarantee it's not going to rain while you're out there moving around, and you certainly want to do yourself your best to keep yourself and your equipment dry. A cover for your Owl's pack. And that goes a long way towards, number one, it's a camouflage color, a cover, so it helps hide all the different items that you might have hanging off of it, which may not be camouflaged. And the cover in and of itself also provides some water protection from the rain. A sleeping bag with its cover. And a list of contents. As you decide what you want to put in there, you should have a notepad with you. And as you're putting stuff in there, make a note what it is you're putting in there. If you put in a pair of socks, how many pairs did you put in? Was it one, two, or was it three? You put in underwear, how many pairs of underwear? You put in three, you put in some Mountain House, the freeze-dried packing, what do you call it, backpacking packs. And that's what they call them sometimes, backpacking packs. And some little aluminized pouches with the freeze-dried food in it, and they even vacuum pack them down sometimes. Well, what did you put in there? How many of those? What meals did you put in? Because you may not remember. If it sits there for a few weeks or a month or two, you may not remember exactly what you put in there. And so you want to keep a list of whatever it is you're putting in there. A couple of additional items you may want to consider. A thermal IR blocker blanket. It's basically like the little poppies, the peanut, the sheet of plastic with the little air pockets in it, and you sit there and you pop them with your fingers. Well, they make that with an aluminized side on it, and believe it or not, that's very, very effective against blocking something like flare scopes, which helicopters will have if they're doing an air search for where people are hiding in the woods. If you, that is between you and the flare receiver, they won't see you. It really does a very effective job of blocking out your IR signature. A small Geiger counter, because you don't know what they're willing to drop on us. Bootlaces. You better damn well have an extra set of bootlaces. A head net, and I'm talking about, like, you know, you ever see the beekeepers? They got small ones that really fold up very tiny, and there are military ones, and you can buy them for, like, I don't know, $7-$8. And let me tell you, during the hot weather when the flies are out, it makes a world of difference to keeping those flies from buzzing around your eyes, around your nose, around the corners of your mouth, from crawling into your ear or trying to crawl into your ear, which is really annoying. And a couple last item, collapsible water carriers. Now, my backpack is equipped to carry the two-quart canteen and the 2 1-quart canteens, but I also have some small collapsible water carriers, 1 gallon each, and I've got 3 of those. So if I want to take some extra water with me, if I think finding water over the next day or two may be a problem, but I'm at a water source now, I'm going to put water in those collapsible water canteens and put them in my bug-out bag. Now, it's going to add weight, but without water, you ain't going far anyway. Water is life. Water is your limiting factor in almost every scenario you can think of. So water is essential, so you damn well just have to take on the burden of extra water if you think you may not be finding another water source for the next couple of days. Anyway, I do see we reached the top of the hour, so unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, Henry Shiver.
Hey, J.D.
Yeah, come on up.
Hey, it's Doc.
Hey, oh, great, Doc. You know, I got a question for you. Someone had brought this up last week. They were asking about salt tablets. Now, I've never personally used them, but I thought I would wait for you to come up. And since you're up and you got your question, maybe you can also answer the question about salt tablets.
Yeah, I would discourage the use of salt. Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I would discourage the use of salt tablets because in our foods we have – just add table salt to your food, and you'll be consuming enough sodium. There's enough sodium already prepackaged in our food that it's more than enough.
Yeah. Now, typically, isn't the problem there's actually too much sodium and too much table salt in our food already?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of sodium in our food already. If you want to add a little bit to your food, you know, by all means do that. But I don't think you need to supplement with salt tablets. That's old. That's old stuff there.
Just asking because someone did ask that, so I thought I'd bring it up while you were up.
Yeah, everybody's mileage may vary. Henry brought up a thing on that question also that he drinks like, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, 1 canteen of a Gatorade solution to 2 canteens of water, and I think that's a good way to do that. If you're not cutting the Gatorade, the sports drink in half, which is a good way to drink a sports drink because of the sugars involved in it. But I wouldn't worry about salt. I wouldn't, you know, carry a pill bottle full of table salt. You know, pill bottle size. It doesn't take much space. Not going to rattle around, and you could probably use it to make saline with it. Find the solution of how much salt to how much water, and you can make saline with it, wounds to clean, you know, clean out wounds and stuff like that. I think that'd be a better use for salt than strictly salt tablets.
Okay, so what was your question? Because you were coming up with a question,
Yeah, so I got a couple of questions. My first question is your loadout. Is that including a weapon system and ammo and ancillary gear for that?
No, that is not including any kind of weapon system or water. I'm at 60 pounds right now, which is really pushing it for me. But I have handled that before in the past, but I've got to train back up to it because I just tried moving it around. When I took it out to weigh it, I put it on my back and I went walking around a little bit. I was like, whoa, I'm out of training.
Yeah, I know the feeling. And so my next question is on aircraft and aircraft survivability. You talked about the vulnerabilities of helicopters. And my question is, when I know fixed wing, they'd like to land into a headwind. I'm not sure about rotary craft. My experience on them was pretty much being in them and flying to an LZ and getting the hell out, either that or landing them for a medevac or something like that. So that's based on my experience of it. I would venture to say that they would want to land into the wind also because of visibility and dust and stuff like that. What's your experience with that?
Well, typically, yeah. Now, I've trained on both sides. That is, we've done because of Stinger missiles and the way we operate in small two-man teams, and we are typically
going in with what's called the breaching force. The breaching force will typically go into an area and you have an isolated landing area, which means helicopter delivery. So typically that was the method we trained with as far as employing the weapon system. But we also learned the other side of it, that is, if I'm already at station keeping, that is, I'm in a location where I'm expected to provide air defense, I've used up my missiles, so what do I do now? And we trained on what is the right employment of small arms against enemy helicopters, because you're not going to use small arms against an enemy jet. You're just wasting ammo.
Right.
You're just throwing ammo in the air
right.
when you do that. But we did train on the concession that you've used up your missile, because when a two-man team carries one missile. So when you shoot your load, you're absolutely useless, except as area surveillance, you're providing reconnaissance information, and or we trained on how to use small arms against helicopters. And the way we were taught was, number one, yes, helicopters will prefer to land a little bit, especially if it's a strong headwind, because remember, the troop carrying helicopters, they're very long. They're not terribly wide, but they're very long, and the wind will push them around if they try landing against the wind at an odd angle. But they don't have to. It's not like aircraft. They can actually land in a strong side wind because they can tilt both rotors to counteract the pushing force of the wind. So it's not critical to them, but they do prefer to land into a headwind if they can. The other
right.
thing is, if a helicopter's crossing, you got to lead it. That means you got to shoot in front of it and let the bullet meet the helicopter, or the helicopter flies into the path of the bullet, because there is some delay time, especially when you're at, you know, 100 yards, 200 yards, or 400 yards back, and you're trying to use your rifle against them. You do have a little bit of lead time there. You can't just aim at the helicopter, shoot, and expect you're going to hit it. You're not. You're going to miss. The helicopter will fly by unless he's in hovering mode. So when there's a crossing helicopter, you have to lead it. The other thing is, what are your points of vulnerability? Number one, the pilot's pretty well protected, because combat aircraft are predicated around keeping the pilot alive. That's American ideology in aircraft design, combat aircraft design. Keep the pilot alive, because if you don't keep the pilot alive, the rest of the aircraft is junk. So they're pretty well protected. There's an opening, or you have something that can breach. Which means even a 50 cal, some of the helicopters, if I remember right, they're capable of withstanding up to a 50 cal impact. It'll crack the glass, the bullet resistant glass, but it won't penetrate it, if I remember right. But certainly behind them, in the skin of the aircraft, when the glass disappears and the metal starts, they do have ballistic material behind that metal to protect the pilot. The pilot's area is very well protected with ballistic plating. So the idea that you're going to take out the pilot by shooting at him, that's a 50-50 bet at best. You're better off aiming for the rotors and or the engine. And when I say the rotors,
right.
I'm talking about where the rotor hub comes out of the aircraft and all the rotors are attached to it. That's actually, even though it's really durable, very, very robust, it's still the point of vulnerability is the rotors, the rotor hub, and the engine. Those are your most vulnerable points on a helicopter. You can shoot the fuel tanks, but the fuel tanks are designed specifically to not ignite, and they are self-sealing. All U.S. military aircraft have self-sealing fuel tanks. So if you shoot into what you think is the fuel tank, you're just wasting ammo.
Right. My point was to orient your attacking force downwind, so when the helicopter comes in, you're at its vulnerable point when the back hatches open up.
Yeah, it could be, but you're making an assumption. Remember that the pilot
right.
in a
right.
helicopter, he does not have to come in based on wind direction. Now, mm-hmm. that is, again, we've said and we noticed, I can't think of the right word. But we have made the point that they prefer to, but it's not an absolute requirement.
Right.
And if the pilot thinks that there is a potential ambush waiting for him there, number one, he may abort, or number two, he may just come from a different direction into the landing zone because he knows that you're off at the 2 o'clock position where it's now a disadvantage to you because he's landing in an 8 o'clock position.
Right. And also, usually these troop carriers, they're going to be with escorts, usually Cobras or Apaches or something like that.
And they're going to be in station keeping. They're going to be flying around the LZ
right.
as he goes down.
And if that LZ gets hot, it's going to be really, really disadvantageous to you if you're on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Now, helicopters, civilian helicopters, are much more fragile compared to a military helicopter. So if you see something that looks like, and you think it's a civilian helicopter, well, shoot anyway, because you shoot through that, you shoot at the glass where the pilot is, you're gonna shatter the glass, no question about it. Or you, at least the bullet's gonna go through it, because that's just regular carbonite, which is a strong plexiglass. It's not the bullet-resistant glass used in the military, which is heavier.
Right.
So if you think it's a civilian aircraft, any point of vulnerability is open.
Yeah, I've seen that. I was on a deployment and a Cobra went down from a bird strike. A bird hit the tail rotor, the tail shaft, and the tail rotor was inoperative. They auto-rotated down and hit the ground. The tail shaft broke off, landed up next to the pilot and gunner. They both walked away from it, and I guess any landing that you can walk away from is a good landing. But
yeah, that's the phrase, right?
Yeah, the tail shaft is also a vulnerable point.
Yep. We talked about the troop carriers, right? We talked about the troop carriers, which don't have a tail shaft; they just
right,
have the two.
Right.
The two. But if you see the security escort helicopter, they do have the tail rotor, and that is an absolute point of vulnerability. In fact, that's what Black Hawk Down was all about. The tail rotor got hit with an RPG.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to give more insight and different opinion. Or your expertise on that part. I just rode in them and jumped out of them.
Well, you know what? It's also going to be on-site situation evaluation and your personal judgment call, because in the end, throwing any kind of ammo at them while they're trying to do anything is going to make them think twice about it.
A SMEAC.
SMEAC, yes. Situation, mission, I forgot you do your SMEAC, yes. I'm trying to remember what the acronym stands for.
I'll leave you with that, JD. I got to go.
All right, Doc. Thanks.
All right, bye.
All right, so you heard Doc mention about the salt pills. So whoever asked that, I can't remember who it was. He does not recommend it because his impression and my impression is whatever food we eat, it already has more than enough salt. And in fact, you know, it's a fairly common common opinion that, in fact, the American food has too much salt in it to begin with. So, anyway, unless there's any other questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to Henry.
All righty, then. Excellent report, John. And I guess that one of the things we ought to be thinking about is we need to capture some mortars and some RPGs. That would be something you'd want to be targeting. If you're going to go out on raids, you'd want to acquire those because that's what you'd want at one of those landing zones, is a RPG for the protector helicopter, and then the mortars to start, you know, sending them in on the big copter.
If you're capturing American equipment or even NATO equipment, which is largely American equipment, we don't use RPGs. We use what's called the LAW, which is light anti-armor weapon, and it looks like a little tube. That's what it is. It's a tube with a little handle on it, a little bump on it. It's about 24 inches long or something like that. I don't remember the exact length of it. It's about 3 inches in diameter. And when you get the LAW, if you've never operated one, believe it or not, there is a complete set of instructions on how exactly to operate the LAW and how to aim it. So once you get one, you're going to need about 15 to 20 minutes to read those instructions carefully, but it will explain step by step how to use one, and the instructions are so clear, I firmly believe I could give it to a fifth grader, and they would be able to operate it on the first try.
And don't stand behind it.
Don't stay behind it. Absolutely.
Just thought I'd throw
yes,
that
there
out there.
There is a backblast out of that.
All righty then. Anyways, guys, we've reached the top. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, remember, don't stand behind it. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Take care.